talked about last week, and the week before that, about wisdom and prudence. And we were talking about Jehoshaphat and what he was doing. And I don't want you to get it confused with, when we talk about wisdom, prudence, knowledge, and understanding, and that some of the biblical words we don't use today, because it's just like homosexuality, a man lying with a woman, or living different ways. They have different words and different terminology for it today because they say, oh, this is offensive. Whereas the King James Bible uses a lot of language that the people say are offensive or whatever. But that's because there's been a confusion of languages. Ever since the Tower of Babel, where God confused the people's languages, where they couldn't understand one another. That's the difference. And what we have to do is get back to actually what the Bible says and what it's talking about. And to be an elder, a teacher, a pastor, deacons, different positions in the church require different efforts than the normal layperson. In other words, the layperson may not have as many hours of study as a person that holds an office in the church, because there's more responsibility there. The one talent person, the two talent person, then there's the five talent person. Everyone according to his ability, how God had gifted that individual. But we in the church must look at the fact that he was telling Timothy in the second chapter of Timothy, the second Timothy, the second chapter in the 15th verse. He told Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And there's a way to rightly divide the word of God. There's a way to wrongly divide the word of God. Paul was a doctor of the law. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. In other words, he knew the law. He knew the Old Testament. Peter and them was at a failure here. Peter and them was at a short because, as we heard of in the book of Acts, when Peter was brought before the council and he was trying to argue his point, he might have not known the protocol to use going before the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin. But Paul knew what protocol. He knew how to do it because he was used to that. He had studied law and he had been one of the Pharisees. So they said that Peter and John, they were what? Unlearned men. In other words, the word unlearned is not an evil word, you know, and like I say, sometimes we use different words nowadays and people think you're speaking ill of them or whatever. That's because we've not take time to tell people or preach to people just what the meaning of some words and some things are. The word unlearned means possessing inadequate learning or education. They were fishermen, whereas Paul was a Pharisee who had studied the law, whereas Peter and them had studied the law. It's characterized by revealing an ignorance. Oh, we have to define that word ignorance for us, okay? Because a lot of people get offended at the word of being ignorant, and I'm ignorant of a whole lot of things. A lot of us are ignorant, and we take offense at special people that ain't too quick. You know, people that are a little bit, they're not as perceptive. They get angry because they think you're calling them dumb. Dumb is different from the word ignorant or stupid. Stupid is another word that doesn't quite mean what people think it means. I would say Jehoshaphat was stupid. He was ignorant. But here Peter and them were unlearned. That's why we got the position of deacons in the church. Because Peter and them said, well, look, this is too much. We can't keep up with preaching and teaching and wait on the widows and wait on tables and things. Look out seven men among you and let them do that work, but we're going to give our time to prayer and studying the word of God. You have to, that's why I say, that's why the preachers that get paid nowadays are the ones that's all they do. They have a full-time thing because this is getting to where God's people are perishing because of the lack of knowledge. They're following people that can say just about anything and that people sit there and believe it. And the whole church is just going to hell in a handbag because they don't understand that the preachers are blind leaders, that they're ignorant, that they're dumb. And Isaiah says that in the book of Isaiah. We'll look at that at another time, not tonight. I don't want to confuse this or keep it going back and forth. But Paul told Timothy, he says, and that in 2 Timothy 3:15 he says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. All this is in your notes. Huh? Here's some notes that you can take in this page. He says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make one wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. He had known the Word of God and the Scriptures because of his grandmother Eunice and his mother Lois, that they had taught him the Scriptures. And see, that's one thing about the Scriptures. The Scriptures make you wise unto salvation. That it makes the simple wise because the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and understanding, and that's what the Scriptures does. It transforms your mind. The wisdom of this world is foolishness to God, so all wise men could be confounded in this world. That's why Paul said he didn't come to the Corinthian church preaching wisdom and different things, but he came to them knowing only and preaching only Christ and him crucified. He didn't come in man's wisdom and knowledge, and that's what we go for nowadays, a good orator, somebody that can tell a good story or sound good, or that has the right homiletics or whatever, but not necessarily a man that knows the Word of God, that teaches the Word of God. And that's the problem with the church. That's why we have people with a form of godliness, but they're lacking the power thereof. And a lot of them don't know when they're being sold a bill of goods. They're not able to distinguish these things. So what happens is they're not like the Berean Christians. I used to go to a Berean church over here. The Seventh-day Adventist church is called the Church of the Bereans. But they were nowhere like the Bible Bereans. The Bereans were some noble Jews. In other words, these were some respected people. These people were of character and integrity. We read about them in the book of Acts in the 17th chapter, in the 11th verse, when Paul was preaching and teaching. If you would look at Acts, the 17th chapter, and we'll start as high as the 10th verse talking about these Bereans. They listen to him preaching. That's where a lot of people are making a mistake today. When you bring your Bibles and things to church in a big old Bible company, they want to follow the preacher to make sure you're preaching this and that and that. And if you don't know what you're talking about, or you don't understand the Bible, you could have five Bibles in front of you, he still could pull the wool over your eye. If one of y'all understand it. It's not written to the carnal man, so if you're not spiritually minded, you're not going to understand what he's saying anyhow. At the book of Acts, the 17th chapter and 11th verse, and they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and the others, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto the Bereans, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. They sent Paul and he went to the Bereans, to the synagogue to teach. And they said, now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. The Thessalonians were being deceived. That's the one that Paul said they were going to say that was going to be a strong delusion set, because some had stopped working in Thessalonica. The Thessalonian church, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, you read where some had quit working and started waiting on the Lord to come. They were confused about the resurrection. There was much confusion among the Thessalonians because they were the Christians that we would say that goes to church, but goes to church for that hour, half an hour, however long church is, and that's it. When church is over, they don't pick up a Bible during the week. They don't study. They would go home and they would watch Law and Order. They would watch everything that's on tonight, everything that's on tomorrow night. The world is in a television, playing cards and games and going visiting and doing all kinds of other things except studying the Word of God. That's the problem with the world today. We don't have time for God. Most people are not studying. He asks them, what book are you reading? What book are you reading? What books are you reading? Most people are not reading any extracurricular books. They're not reading anything other than, and if they read the Bible, they'll read it a little while or something, the same old scriptures they always read, but they're not studying the Bible. There's a different approach to studying the Bible than reading the Bible. But then there's a lot of secular things that we could read in companionship that goes along with the Bible to increase our knowledge, to gain the mind of God from all men, because all men contain the mind of God. You can't think outside of God. There's nothing outside of God. You might have perverse thinking, but it's not outside of God. But it might be a perversion. It's something God wouldn't do. But it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. In other words, they were hinging up on everything Paul was saying. They weren't coming to sleep, church going to sleep. In Acts, one place they went to the boycott, and one they fell out and killed himself listening at the word. You know, these wasn't people that come to church and doze off. These weren't people that come to church and they got something to do half an hour after church, and they can't stay and talk with nobody that's in the church. They don't even know the church members, because as soon as the preacher preaches, they hit the door because they got somewhere to go. Their life's not entwined in the church. They don't have anything invested in their church but that socializing, that half an hour, but there's a good crowd, that good time crowd that they might hang with, because the church is a social gathering where they go to keep a societal image. That's all it is an image to them. It's not a way of life. It's not part of their life that they have incorporated in their life. These people, with all readiness of mind, and it says, and search the scriptures daily. I told you the apostles met daily. Most of the disciples during that time, they met daily because they had a different disposition or attitude toward church and toward spiritual and religious things than we have today. They realized that a battle that they were in, that this was warfare. People nowadays, the devil has lulled them away to, they don't even think that this is a war. They don't even realize that every day, everybody you meet, there's something going on, that God's in that conversation, that God's there, and you're being judged day by day. That everything happens to you every day is for a purpose, and it determines whether you're going up or whether you're going down in the Lord. Their life is not that important because they're not redeeming the time, knowing that the day is evil. They're not redeeming the time. They're wasting the time, and they're wasting everybody else's time. It says, they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believe also of the honorable women, which were Greeks and men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Like I said, they didn't want to learn and they didn't want nobody else to learn, so they came in and stirred this up and broke it up or whatever. They were more or less ignorant. They rejected the word of God. They had a form of godliness, but they didn't want the people to be more godly than they. They were ignorant. And here's the word ignorant, what we're talking about when we say ignorant. One, destitute of knowledge or education, also lacking knowledge or comprehension of the things specified. Now, when I say the things specified, I'm not saying that they're ignorant of things of the world. They may be a nuclear physicist. They may be a doctor. They could be a lawyer, because the wisdom of this world is different from the wisdom of God. That's why they're ignorant, because they don't know the things of God. It's just like being a fool. And if you don't have the knowledge of God, that wisdom will perish with you because it's not of the world. You have to seek the knowledge and wisdom and understanding that comes from above, that of God, which is separate from the world. You know, it doesn't make any difference the way the world thinks. That way is going to perish in. That way of competition, greed, that Babylonian system has to perish. That's why it's called ignorance, because that's vanity of vanity, that's vexation of spirit. All the wisdom of the world is foolishness under God. That's what he says, it's foolishness under God. So, the thing specified, in other words, the thing specified here, is you, I've got to give you an example that says, parents of modern mathematics. In other words, I tell you, I was ignorant of a lot of things. I can't help my grandson with his homework. I can't help my children with their work no well. Because why? I was smart in school or whatever, but math is different now. The work is different now. So you're going to have to get you a tutor, get somebody else, because I can't show you that. What y'all are doing in first grade or kindergarten or second grade, we might have been doing that in college or something, but now education has changed so much that the younger people are doing what we were doing way up in the high schools. So I'm ignorant of that. I'm ignorant of computers. You know, they can show me a few things on this phone, but everything that this phone do, I'm ignorant of it. I don't know how to do it, and I don't want to get, you know, I want that knowledge. I don't want to study to be good on this. There's a lot of things that if you have a computer at home or whatever, you might can do a few things on it, but basically you're ignorant of it if you're not fluent on that computer, know how to do it. That's why some people, they call them hackers or geeks or whatever, they can just do everything on it. There's some things that you can get that phone and program it and do all this here before you even make a move. So you could be ignorant of a specified thing. And see, but we're not ignorant of the things of God. We need to be wise concerning spiritual things. And that's where the carnal man doesn't understand. Those things are not known to him, and because they're only known unto those that God reveal it to or show it. So they're ignorant of the spiritual world just as ignorant as we are of the physical world. But a lot of times it's not that we're ignorant of the physical world. It's just that we've left that world behind, left that behind. That's why Paul said, all that I had, I counted it as loss for Christ Jesus. He was born a Pharisee of Pharisees, the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. In other words, he had received the top teaching under Gamaliel, one of the top teachers of the law, a doctor of the law. And he said he counted all that loss, counted it all as dung, and we know what dung is, to gain Christ, that knowledge of Christ, to know him more intimately in his suffering and everything. Whereas there's going to be people that know the world and have different hearts and intents, and their mind is about the people and the things of this world, and they're going to be working for Christ just like the people out in the desert digging the ditches, and they all got water. They all received of God. It's a lot of people in the church that it rains on the just and the unjust, but judgment day is coming. God's going to weed all those people out whose heart's not fully committed unto him. But they don't think that they should be saved. Those are the ones that say, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do this? And he would say, I never knew you. We had no knowledge of one another. You didn't know me and I didn't know you. And you thought you were working for me, but you didn't even know me because you didn't have an understanding. You didn't have fellowship with me. I didn't reveal myself unto you. Now you chased after me. You know of God, but you didn't know God. So he says here, resulted from a showing lack of knowledge or intelligence, unaware. Or uninformed. That's what ignorance is, if you're unaware of something. Ignorance of the law, they say, is no excuse. Huh? You're unaware that there is a law, you uninformed. There could be some things going on at the house that your wife said today, y'all was going to do this or do that. And somebody say, well, what you think about that, Brother Hubbard? You think we're going to do this? You can say, I'm unaware of that. I'm ignorant of that. I don't know nothing about it. She hadn't told me. You're not uninformed. In other words, you're ignorant of it. You're not aware. You don't know anything about that. Why? Because they hadn't given you that knowledge. It ain't that you're a stupid person. It's just that you was minding your own business and she never did tell you this or she didn't tell you that. So you're ignorant of it. You didn't know about that. Even though it's happening and going on, I'm unaware of that. So there's different words, ways of ignorance, and as I said, they're called unlearned men. Let's talk about God saying that we were ignorant at times. There was times that we were ignorant and there's sins of ignorance, but let's see how God treats sins of ignorance. In Leviticus, the fourth chapter, that whole chapter talks about doing sins in ignorance. In other words, that these people didn't know God's law, hadn't studied God's law, they hadn't went to the priest, they hadn't been going to the synagogue. But just because somebody out there, they say they know Jesus and Jesus died for them and all that. If you know that much about God, God can hold you accountable now for that you don't know now. He does hold you accountable. Just because that you don't know it. Now, don't think that you should know it because God had told you to seek after him. So there's no reason to say, well, we were ignorant of that. There's no excuse for being ignorant, for not knowing. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin even the priest their sin. So if your religion teaches something and your priest, not your preacher, your pastor or whatever, doesn't know that, they're worshiping on the wrong day. They're worshiping or doing something that's wrong. Now you will be held accountable for that. You have to be held accountable because that's still sin. Even though that you didn't know it was sin. That sin, you should have found out. It says, according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin. You remember, you can't just, a lot of people say ignorance is bliss. Well, it's not bliss, it's costly. Because it says, which he has sinned until he shall bring a young bullock, that was one of the most prized animals. That was a cow, I have you heard. You couldn't bring two gold doves or whatever. You had to bring something costly, a bullock, without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. You got to offer up a sin. That's why Hebrews say, every sin and transgression shall receive its just recompense of reward. Jehoshaphat was what you call, when I said the word stupid a while ago, is that he refused to learn. He refused to learn of God. God had already rebuked him about aligning himself with Ahab. Yeah. He did the same thing with Ahab's son, both his sons. One with Ahaziah, before he died, he fixed that shipping boat and everything, and the boat sunk and got in disrepair. God towed him up. He did the same thing with Jehoram and said, well, my people are your people, my horse is your horse. And that's what you call stupid. In other words, slow of mind. Given to unintelligent decision or act. It's not dumb now. In other words, you just don't catch on quick. How many times has God had to tell you something is wrong for it to be wrong? He didn't say, well, Adam, I'm going to give you and Eve another chance. I told you once about that tree. No, they died because they had transgressed God. It still was a law that they had transgressed. It's given to unintelligent decision or acts, acted in an unintelligent or careless manner. That's why resulting from unreasoned thinking of acting senseless. That's why God says, look, come sit down and let's talk. Let's commune together. Let's reason. Because your ways are not like my ways and your thoughts are not like my thoughts. Let us reason together. let us sit down here, and you, I want you to, I want to change your mind because you're thinking stupidly. You're acting ignorant. You're acting foolish. You're not acting the right way. That's why in the book of 10 and 1, Romans 10 and 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel, is that Israel might be saved. Now, hold on, these are chosen people that you're saying might be saved, Paul? For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God. A lot of people have a zeal for God. They want to work for God. They say this and that. They have a zeal for God. In other words, they're quick to jump on the back for God.
Yeah.
They have zeal. But not according to knowledge. So that's what caused them to perish. As he said in Hosea, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. You have to know him. You have to know of God. And only God can reveal himself to you. So you have to pray for wisdom of God that he give you knowledge and understanding to where you can come to know him. That's why Paul said to know me more intimately. They knew that they called themselves the chosen people, but he said, not all Israel is Israel. Not everybody that say they saved is saved because their hearts hadn't been circumcised. They don't have an ear to hear me. They're uncircumcised. In other words, they can't obey my laws because they can't hear what I'm saying. A lot of places he called it dull of hearing. He said they have become dull of hearing. In other words, slow to react. They can't hear. They can't discern what God said. Their perception has gone. Their prudence, their practical life has gone. In other words, ways to act toward God, to grow in God, are gone. He says, for they being ignorant of ignorance of God's righteousness, and they going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Because that righteousness is in Christ. And it's Christ's righteousness, because our own righteousness. You can't establish your righteousness. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. We have to learn of Christ. That's why he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of you. Learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But you have to continue in my word if you're to be my disciples. This is where a lot of religions miss it at because they're not following the teachings of Jesus Christ, which is the way, the truth, and the life. He says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So the only way to salvation is believing in Jesus Christ. That's who's to be saved. But through that belief, that's where he's able to establish you because belief in Jesus Christ comes by faith and that comes by hearing by the word of God. But once you hear that word, once you hear the call of God, you have to make sure of that calling. In other words, there's something you have to do. You have to labor toward hearing God. You have to labor toward walking in God. That's why he says, make sure of your calling. You're calling one hope of your calling. Make sure of that call. Because there be many a call, but only a few chosen. Because they're not walking in the calling. In other words, they've become complacent with God. The world has come before God. They have put the world in between. And now they've become dull of hearing. They can't hear God anymore. They have hardened his heart. He said, harden not your heart in the day of salvation, the day you hear me. But they have become dull of hearing through allowing other things to enter in. It's like that seed that was sown among the thorns. The things and the people and the cares of this world has choked the word of God out of them. And it's not something that they can establish their own righteousness by themselves. They have to do this by the leading and prompting of the Holy Spirit. But most of them have quenched the Spirit, or grieved the Holy Spirit by their actions, their ways, and their lives. Sometimes we have to leave wife behind. Sometimes we have to leave husband behind. Sometimes we have to leave children behind. Because there's something in their lives. We know that, well, it's no use in me talking to them. This is going to create a division. That's why they say, oh, the prudent will be silent at that time. Because it's no use causing havoc in your home trying to get your wife or your children or someone straight that don't want to be straight, and they will resist you anyhow. They're going to be think they're much smarter than you are anyhow. So it comes to a point where you have to stop telling them something. For your marriage to succeed or for your family relationship to succeed, you just have to leave it alone. You have to remain silent. If they are there, it's in God's hands. You've done all you can do. You see that this person is not inclined to follow God. That's what the problem with Ahab. That's what happened. He had got involved in his wife's religion and come to find out that he kind of tossed God to the side, and you can't do that. God won't allow you to do that. He's a jealous God. That's why God said when you intermarry and do these things, so you end up worshiping their gods. They're not going to worship your gods. If they do, they're not sincere in their worship to cause you both to be lost. So we have to be careful, because if you read that throughout Leviticus, it shows you about the sins of ignorance. So ignorance is no excuse. Not knowing is no excuse, because the command of Jesus Christ is to take up your cross and follow after him. He tells you to learn of him by refusing to learn of God. It's so many people, it's no use. Well, we'll pray for the one that he and this and that, that. Well, they hadn't caught on to God. When they start getting the glimpse of God, when God starts talking to them, nobody resists the will of God. God's going to draw them. But you mean to tell me you can violate that law saying that don't do not forsake the assembling together of yourselves and go come out good on that? No, you're not either. You're not going to come out right on that. You're going to have problems. And if we take heed to that, we're going to have a problem. Let's not make that alliance. And so if you're not here, you're not here. If you don't want to follow God, you don't follow God. But as for me, I'm going to follow God. Amen. See, that's what you have to do. And that's why it says that if the unbeliever wants to depart, let the unbeliever depart, because you only can give account of yourself. It says, with fear and trembling, work out your own salvation. No matter what that person, somebody will tell you, you're a cowlet, or you're doing this or doing that, then they're going to say all kinds. But it's blessed for you when people persecute you, say all manner of wrong or evil against you. So you have to take that in stride, and it's going to be worse and worse. You cannot give up God or the values of the Word of God. You have to value the Word of God above all times, above all things. The book of Acts in the 17th chapter, in the 30th verse, when Paul was preaching to the people, he went to one of the cities, and he came into the town, and these people were just like we are. They were worshiping God, and they knew not how to worship God. They knew not what they were worshiping, not realizing that the atonement had been made and the sacrifice had been given. Jesus had died for men's sins. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollyon, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And as Paul, as his manner was, went into unto them, and 3 days Sabbath reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So he went three different Saturdays, three different Sabbaths, teaching to them. That was 3 weeks. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is the Christ. So he preached the death, burial, and resurrection. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. So a great many people, especially the Greeks, not the Jews, though. The Gentiles believed. And he was given for light unto the Gentiles. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, in other these words, wicked people, sons of Belial, and gathered a company and set an assault on the whole city in an uproar, and sought at the house of Jason and sought people to bring him out. So Paul and him was cast out of that city for preaching, and Paul left there and he went to Athens. He went to a couple other cities, and when he was coming into Athens, he said, neither is men worship, verse 25. Neither is worship, he's talking about God here, that God is not worship. We'll have to go up to 24 first. God that made the world and all things thereof, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and of earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worship with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and had made one of all blood, all nations of men, for to dwell on the face of the earth. So he's saying that all men are equal in God. He made us all of one blood, and that's to the children of God. He says that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. So that he did this so that you should seek after him and feel him, because he's closer than you realize. That he's right there amongst you. He's within you. The kingdom of God is within you. He says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our poets have said, for we are all his offspring. So you see that Paul had been reading books. Like I say, he was a learned man. He quoted things about the Cretans, about different other people, because he had studied, and it's always good to study a whole lot of different things. So he was telling these people that their own poets, that their own people had made some of these statements that he was quoting. And he says, for much then as we are this offspring of God, we ought not to think that God, the Godhead, is like unto gold or silver, a stone or graven by art and man's devices. Now, at the times of this ignorance, that go again, ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he had appointed a day in which he would judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained, whereof he had given assurance unto all men, and that he had raised him from the dead. So as he preached the death, burial, and resurrection, he said, now at the times of your ignorance, the times that you wasn't aware or did not know that you had a Savior, that somebody had died for you, I'm making you aware of that, that Jesus Christ said this is the only way, that he had sent this man that you should believe on him, and that he had put away all these other beliefs the way that you used to think. You have to stop thinking that way. That man has to die. That man has to be crucified. And at the times of our ignorance, in other words, throughout the years, throughout the Old Testament, throughout time, God had winked. In other words, God closed his eyes during the time of our ignorance, but now he had given us the light that we should walk in the light while it is daylight, because he's going to remove that light after a while to where no man can minister. Now, that don't mean he's going to remove the people. In other words, the people will stop telling you. It's going to be a time that you're going to say, well, why he don't preach to these people? Why he this and that? It's going to be just like Jesus Christ. He started talking to the people in parables because they had rejected God. That's why you can't make alliances and you can't give it to the false prophets. You can't go back and keep preaching to people over and over. He says that they're dull of hearing. You can preach, but they're not going to hear because I've closed their ears. I've stopped up their eyes so they can't see and they can't hear what it is. Like they be converted and their sins be blessed. I did that. You working against all laws. It's just like Noah preaching one. It wasn't no more but that eight that was going to be saved. He could preach 120 years. It was just those eight designed that God was to save. Yeah. He told Isaiah, go and preach to these people. He said, but they are stubborn and rebellious people. They're not going to heed you. And by the way, I didn't close the ears. That's what they came. But in the book of Luke, we see where Jesus is the one who opened up your understanding whereby you can understand the scripture. So there's a barrier to go to God that you can't go by your own intellect, but it's a grace, a gift of God that he allows you into his presence, that the Father draw you through godly sorrow. He revealed the Son to you, and then the Son revealed the Father unto you. And unless those two agree in one, you can't have either one of them. Huh? See, so that's why the people are ignorant, because they hadn't studied or they did not know God. Genesis, we go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter in Ephesians, the 17th through the 24th verse. It says, this I say therefore in testifying the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Now he's saying, don't walk like the rest of the world. Don't do like the rest of the people in the world are doing, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened. In other words, I made it so that they can't see. They didn't love the truth, so I've fixed it to where they believe a lie. They have this strong delusion where they turn over to a reprobate mind. They're not going to be able to see. They've had their understanding darkened. I didn't illuminate them. They're not walking in the light, because they're saying being alienated, in other words, being a foreigner, being rejected from the life of God through what? The ignorance that is in them, through the ignorance that is in them, because they despise his word. They despise, they willfully are ignorant of God, are unaware of God. They're not aware of it. They don't reason as God, because that's why we shouldn't walk as those Gentiles walk, because God will do us this thing. He says, because of the blindness of their heart. You remember, the heart was the seat of understanding. It was the mind. It was the nous. It wasn't this flesh pumping thing here, but it was your understanding, your reasoning, your mind. And there is someone out there that blinds that. Who does that? Satan does. The God of this world blinds the mind of the people so that they cannot see God. That's how your mind becomes blinded. So you cannot see God. That's who does that. God allows Satan to do that. Who, being past feelings, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. These people are past the feelings. You remember it says, the love of many shall wax cold. These people are past a point where that God's going to deal with them, but they have the unwanted lust for this. They're living for the world, the things of the world. They're living for worldly pleasures. They're living for all that they can get, and they're causing others to lust after them. This is the problem. This is a major problem in the churches, he said. To work all uncleanliness and greediness. He had turned their uncleanliness, that means they're not holy. They're very covetous. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus Christ, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That transformation has to occur in your mind. You have to be renewed in the thinking of God, to think as God thinks, think in the way God thinks, think how God thinks, in the understanding of God. Two cannot walk together unless they agree. But these people had started turning and walking in the way the Gentiles, in the way that other Gentiles work. Walk. He said, and that you put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. this new man, this new creature that is created in Christ Jesus, you have to walk as Christ walked. You can't no longer walk after the course of this world. In other words, after the way you used to do. And that's what the churches are doing. They're polluting God. They're polluting the right way, and they're taking everybody the broad way. In other words, a spiritually ignorant way, because they've prostituted God. They're fornicators and prostituting the Spirit of God. They're fornicators and adulterers. They have two gods. They're married to another god. They're not married to God. And those that are married to God, those that are in the church who have covenanted with God, they're turning against the God of the covenant. That's why some are adulterers, because they have committed to churches. They have committed themselves to assemblies, but they're walking contrary to what they should be doing. Peter says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. A lot won't get that revelation because they hadn't walked in Jesus Christ. They hadn't girded up their loins in the truth. They hadn't put their minds and established it to walk in the truth. They allowed the other people, the other things of the world to draw their mind, their emotions, and their love for God away from them and away from the obedience that's in God. It says, and we should walk as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. When you were unaware of God, unaware that what you were doing were very sinful, you stopped shaping and forming, in other words, pouring yourself into that same mold, doing the same thing you used to do. When you were walking in that ignorance, he calls it. He didn't say dumb. He said ignorance. In other words, you wasn't aware of God. Just like Jacob wasn't aware of God when he went to sleep in Bethel, and he raised up and said, you know, God is in this place, and I knew it not. See, Samson had the Spirit of God upon him, but he was unaware that the Spirit of God had left him. At the point of he was so much involved in self, he didn't even know God had left. But as he which had called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. So we see there that God asks a whole lot of us to walk in his ways. He asks us to be true to his ways. He asks us to learn of him, to get wisdom and knowledge and understanding. That's why he says he makes the simple wise. And it's only God that can make a person that simple wise. And it's the word of God that does it, working in you. But it's by the renewing of your mind, the transforming of your mind, by that same mind being in you that was in Christ Jesus, that we all be of one mind. 1 Corinthians, he said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And then he goes on and explains in there about the spiritual gifts or whatever. But a lot of this we can't get to until we get the basics out of the way. It's no use confusing ourselves, just as in Romans, he says, Romans 11:25, he says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. That's a mystery, but Paul was trying to explain it to them so that they wouldn't be ignorant of it. In other words, unaware, unlearned, unreasoning, not being careful in their salvation, because if God had cut them off, and they're the natural branches, and God had cut them off and grafted us in, don't you think that he could cut us back off, which are unnatural branches, and graft them back in? So we have to be careful in the words
like I said, the power of life is and death is in words, and sometimes we dodge some words, but by dodging that word, we lose all the significance in the power in what that word means of trying to teach us. There's a word, ignorance and unaware and dull of hearing, that's close together. And it can be used in a bad way, it can be used in a good way. But we have to be able to study the Word of God, and that we should not be ignorant, in other words, unaware of the devices of Satan. That we should be able to come to a reasonable decision on reasonable things, that's practical knowledge. That's a different wisdom that we'll study next week. That's the Nikos and Sophia of God, and we'll study that next week. With that, we will close down. You can do the closing prayer, the closing message now.